everybody. It's Mark Steiner right here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And you know, on this program for the last 15 years, 23 years, I should say, when I said 15 for the last 23 years, we've been covering housing with some intensity. And from the very third show we ever did on this program in 1993 at another place was a town meeting with public housing residents and the then housing commissioner, Danny Henson. And so we have been covering this for a long time. And people now are calling for the resignation of Paul Graziano. Paul Graziano has been housing commissioner for over 15 years and has been a guest on the show dozens of times over those 15 years. And while people may have a right to call for his resignation, of course, the question is, okay, he resigns. Then what? And it's the then what we want to talk about a lot. We're joined here today in the studio. John Comer joins us once again. He is a lead organizer for Maryland Communities United, who's been doing intense work here. McCullough Homes and Gilmore Homes and more. Good to have you back in the studio, John.
Thank you.
And also in the studio with us are Trina Ashley, Taisha Harrell, and Alice Wilkerson, who live in Gilmore and McCullough Homes, are part of Communities United, and we'll bring that perspective into this conversation. Ladies, welcome. Good to have you all in the studio as well.
Thank you very much.
To have you all here. And Jeff Singer joins us one again, founder and former executive director of Healthcare for the Homeless, who is a leading advocate in this community still for a radical change in our public housing policies and for housing in general. Jeff, good to have you back.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you.
And y'all, please call in with your comments and ideas. 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Comment on the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page or send us an email to talk@steinershow.org. But do call in, 410-319-8888. There's so many places to begin, but I think now that you three wonderful ladies are in this studio with us, we said before we went on the program that people always talk about housing issues, about public housing, but unless you live in public housing, unless you live in a community, unless you've gone through it yourself or organized in it or worked in it, whatever, you have no idea what people have to live like and through and to make it. You have no idea. So I want people to have an idea. And Taisha, welcome. Can I start with you?
Yes, you can.
Good, thank you. So welcome. It's good to have you here. So talk a bit about, also I'm curious how you got involved with Communities United and what you all are doing.
I got involved with Communities United about a few months ago because I believed in what they was doing. I met with them. They was out front talking to some of my neighbors, and I was interested in what they was talking about. And then I had an incident at my home. I had electrical fire, and they just left me there. They didn't, come and fix it or do any of the work they were supposed to do. And I'm still staying there, and they're trying to do some of the work now, but it's still not being done.
And how long has that been?
About a month now.
Do you have electricity?
Yes.
You do?
I have electricity, yes.
Let me just go around the room. Trina.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. My issue is on the housing situation is, I'm a former resident now, lead organizer in the field. When I was there, we had plural conditions, but not this plural to where you could live with them. And they did when you voiced your opinion, would come out, but you had to go through the higher channels to get it done. With this situation that's going on now, it's unbearable. It's unbelievable. It's gotten out of hand. And they need to do something about it. What I can say on a piece about Graziano is he's stepping up somewhat a little bit, trying now that he really, really, quote, unquote, know the issues, but dirty, come clean. You knew about these issues in 2009. 2009 is 2015. You got these people living in low, you got them living in low, it's bad enough they're living in low poverty. But the conditions that they're living in and you're leaving them in there is beyond belief. My thing is, and I'm going to state this to him again, is spend a week in one of these units and let one of the tenants go stay in your residence. And I want to see how long you will last, if you can last this week. And I'm also going to put it out there for Stephanie Rollins Blake to do the thing, the same. Step up, Miss Stephanie. Take a week. Let someone, let one of these tenants live in your house while you go live in their unit and see what you last a week.
You know, what you just said is a really powerful thing. I'm going to come back to what you just said. I mean, I think as maybe as a rite of passage for any elected official, it might be an interesting way to kind of approach this. And Alice Wilkerson, welcome as well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Alice Wilkerson, and I'm here involved with Communities United because I am one of the people that have deplorable conditions in their house, in their home. At first, I had a ceiling fall in. I called. I've been calling for 5 years. They never did anything.
5 years for a ceiling that fell in?
Yes, sir. 5 years, and I had to put a piece of steel wool in a hole in the ceiling in the bathroom to keep mice from coming in. Now, my problem is with this. I also have mold in my home. It's been there for 1 year. I had told the manager of the complex about it the same day they were examining, walking around in our complex, examining houses. When she asked me where I lived, I told her. She went in the house with me with four maintenance people. They tried to tell me it was just not mold. It was, I can't think of the name right now. But anyway, it turned out to be mold. It's on my clothes. Mm. It's in my window shields. It's in every room in the ceiling and on the walls. And they just did something about it this week. They started last week and this week because we came forward and said something about it. I've seen the people in my complex are afraid to come forward because they are afraid they will be terminated and put out of their homes. It's, I would say it's about 10 to 12 people on the side of the building where I live, and all of them have trouble with mold in their houses. Nothing is being done about it. Now, Community United is a wonderful program that's making everyone aware of what is going on. I have seen houses with holes, no ceilings, asbestos exposed. One lady have a window in her kitchen that is all the way out, and she has a piece of cloth in front of it to keep people from looking in her houses. With the asbestos exposed, and they have children, from 3 to 5 children in these homes. Nothing is being done about it until Mr. Graziano came down there and saw several apartments that were ruined. It was one lady that has so much gas in her house. I don't know how she survived with her children in there. They promised her on the day that we made our rounds that they would move her out that night, but they didn't. She stayed in there a couple of days more. Everybody was running out of the apartment because the gas was so, I don't know how they survived at all. Now, with people that's afraid to come forward, in order to get anything done in your homes, you need to come out and join us and rally against this. Because everybody, senior citizens, children, babies, teenagers, everyone is being affected by this.
So I really appreciate the perspectives we just heard here. We'll hear a great deal more in the course of this hour. Please join us at 410-319-8888. We want to hear your ideas here. And I think that we just got a tweet in. I'll read from a Housing Policy Watch. It tweeted at Mark Steiner. Please let the residents know that there are people fighting hard to get rid of Paul Graziano and ensure safer, better housing. So let me just talk about this one moment. And John, jump in. You can wax forth more about Citizens United, the Communities United that you've been organizing with. But I was just saying earlier in the green room, and I said to Jeff Singer, so, you know, you get rid of Paul Graziano. then what?
I mean, you know, and that's the thing. Like, the problems are still going to be there. There's a backlog of problems that have been there for a decade or more now. And, you know, so the thing is, our membership base lives in this every day. And so we're not trying to protect Graziano and say that he needs to stay in office. What we're looking for is, like, results, right? Like you hear what Miss Alice just said. You hear what Taisha said about what's going on in Gilmore. Miss Alice from McCullough and Trina used to live in Gilmore, who's now an organizer. These people need immediate attention, right? And so for us, and able to empower them to fight for themselves, there are certain things that we've done. We made a list of demands. That's how this whole thing got started. Like, we had a meeting with the residents from mostly Gilmore and McCullough Homes. We put together a long list of demands, which is right here. Everybody is privy to a copy of it. And, you know, we began to organize around it. And, you know, we were able to bring Graziano to the table. I had a chance meeting with him face to face. I was just walking down the sidewalk and I saw him. And I approached them. And there was kind of like no other way at that time. You know, there was kind of like no way to maneuver out of that encounter. And, you know, and since then, and I'm not identifying this as housing work being done. I'm identifying this as the work of the people pushing forward. There have been people moved into hotels and there have been certain things to where we have seen a small change. And by no means are we satisfied with this. We are stuck to these demands. We have another meeting coming up in December to discuss what has been done. As you can hear, many of our folks are still unsatisfied. And as long as they're unsatisfied and they feel like their needs aren't being met, we will continue to apply pressure in the way that we feel like is necessary.
So, okay, good. I'll sound like they turn over to Jeff and get to the phones here.
I also want you to know that we've been in McCullough Homes for the last 2 years with no lights on the outside.
I've noticed that. I mean, at night.
Right.
There are no lights on the outside of the building.
Senior citizens are afraid to come in to walk through the court. Because we have strangers that come through there, and they don't know, we don't know what's going to happen to us, and our children are in the dark. And something needs to be done about this.
I mean, I
and excuse me for cutting you
no,
off.
No, go ahead, please. This is your day.
In Gilmore, they just started putting lights up, but they're not on. So that means that they're still in the dark. When they come through, coming from the bus stop or coming from the market or the corner store with their kids or without their kids.
So I think I'm going to throw an idea out here. Then we're going to open the phones. And is it Tina? Tina, you're the first caller up. We're going to come to your call after I turn to Jeff for a moment. One of the things that we've talked about a lot over the years on this program is that the things I just finished reading in preparation for our conversation today was that, you know, it was 5 years ago a federal study said that there's a $26 billion, with a B, billion-dollar backlog in major capital repairs for public housing. And the federal government only puts out $1.7 billion a year for public housing.
They don't even put that out.
It doesn't get here anymore.
I'm sorry. They don't even put that out. I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
They don't put that out to the point to where they call home every day on a daily basis and live comfortably. But how would they like to come home to a big rat on their dinner table where they have to feed their kids at? Their kids are getting sick, sleeping inside of mold, asbestos, lead poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And but you're still collecting their rent money.
Right.
So what do you think we do? And Jeff can go around the room. Let Jeff, and then we're going to go to both the phones and go around the room here. I mean, where does it begin? I mean, so let's say we actually captured City Hall, right? For argument's sake, let's say we captured City Hall. And we've now voted ourselves in office. And we're running the show. So if we're running the show, how do we And they and clearly they don't have the money they used to have. And we clearly we can't just that can't be the excuse. So, Jeff, start us off.
Yes, you're right. It's very inspiring to be with all of you folks, by the way,
it is.
From Communities United. Thank you for the work that you're doing. We can all agree that the federal budget for public housing is way, way, way too small. It's about 40% of what it was 40 years ago, right? So clearly, even if they spent the money well, they wouldn't have enough money. But let's get over that. We are all tired of the excuse that we hear from our city leaders that there just isn't enough money. We're tired. In 2008, the HUD Office of the Inspector General came to Baltimore and statistically randomly sampled 59 housing units that the city, that HABC is paying for. Of the 59, they found that 57 had 540 violations, code violations, 97%. They also found that 41, 72%, had health and safety violations that put the residents in danger. This is what our housing authority has done. And it's time to stop the excuses that there isn't enough money. I mean, let me show you where there is money. The Board of Estimates is just giving $17.5 million to a multi-billion dollar company to build a building in the University of Maryland Biopark, a company that has $45 million in the bank, Biomed, a company that has $6 billion in assets, and a company that's just being purchased by the Blackstone Group, right, one of the worst landlords in the United States and in Spain, that has $340 billion of assets. And we, the taxpayers of Baltimore City, are giving the owners of these rich companies our tax dollars so they can make more money. Now, that's $17.5 million that they want to give to Blackstone. Mm-hmm. Why don't they give it to the people who live in public housing so they can fix it up?
Right.
And one more thing. Section 25 of the U.S. Housing Act says that any public housing residents and projects can send a letter to the Secretary of HUD and say, our housing authority is not doing what they're supposed to do and they're not taking care of our buildings. We want to manage them ourselves. And I suggest we think seriously about that.
That's a good idea.
What are your thoughts?
That is.
I think that's a good idea. I think that the residents and public housing should be running public housing because they know their issues, they know the conditions of it, and they can correct it a little bit better than the authorities, to me. I think so.
Because we care how we live, they don't.
Right.
That's a very powerful statement, that little short sentence you just made. I said that short sentence you just made is a very powerful sentence.
Because it's true. Because they really don't care because they sleep good. They have their, you know, caviar and all that. Like, you know, they sleep good. They eat good. Like, they don't have to worry. We got to worry about our next meal. Either pay the rent or get put out or go without food. It's like different things we have to go through that they never, ever had to go through a day in their life.
And I think that's the thing we've talked about in this program before. And to hear you say it, I think, is even more powerful than us saying it. When how many people in this city who work hard to try to keep things going, work hard to make a living, can't figure out whether to pay the rent first, buy food first, bus fare first, or whatever, pay the gas and electric, how to juggle that.
Mm-hmm. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you're still living in some nice housing.
Alice, what are you going to say?
I want to say that it's not just Graciano, Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, the managers in our developments have to send the maintenance people out to work and do things. It is not we'll sit around drinking coffee in the next room, or you send them to an apartment or something and they paint a little bit and then sit down and talk to each other. The managers have to send these maintenance people out to take care of our homes.
You know, one of the things that I said in the show last week when we had people who were fired by Paul Graziano on the air, Lucky, who was here, was saying that there used to be 14 carpenters. There's one.
At one time, we had two maintenance people in McCullough Homes trying to take care of all of our problems. That's not going to work. Two people can't do everything.
And folks, do call. I'm sorry I didn't get your calls. Kenneth, Tina, 410-319-8880. We'll come back to your calls. One person who called in who lives in Paulden Public Housing said she has exposed asbestos in her house, mm-hmm. but she couldn't stay on the line. So we're facing in Baltimore, again, from a national perspective. I have a feeling how common this is around the country. This isn't Baltimore. We have to focus on our city, but I'm saying this is across America this is happening.
Oh, absolutely. You're pointing to me, so I'll
respond.
You're
the man with the stats. That's why we go.
Well, yeah, the $4 billion that the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development gets to give to local housing authorities is less than 80% of what they need just to operate, not to mention what they need to maintain the apartments. The $1.7 billion you mentioned compared to $26 billion that they needed a few years ago. All of that is true, and it's disturbing that at least I haven't seen, maybe you all have, maybe the listeners have, our leaders, Baltimore City's leaders, going to Washington, D.C. and demanding that our public housing, which, by the way, it's the housing that we all own, and it's the housing for people who can't use that housing market, and that is almost half of the residents of Baltimore City who just don't have enough money to rent market-rate housing, right? In fact, Mark, I've been using the 86,000 figure, but the city housing department published one recently that's even worse.
Yeah,
they say 98,620 households in Baltimore City can't pay their rent every month. 98,620. Now,
multiply that times 3 or 4, and that's over half the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let's think of this. Their plan for the next 5 years, the Department of Housing and Community Development, is to create 979 units of affordable housing for the 98,620 households that need it, right? That's 1%. Now, do you think we would tolerate if the school system said there's 85,000 students in public schools in Baltimore, right? We're going to provide a quality education to 850 of them, to 1% of them. We wouldn't stand for that. We'd be marching in front of the school, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what they're saying about housing. They don't get it that people have to live under these conditions. That's their daily life. They don't get that has to be another priority for the city, and there's plenty of money to deal with it. It's just not in the federal budget that's coming to Baltimore.
So let me go to the phones here for a minute before we have to take a break, and I really want to come back and have hear from you all about how we redesign this. What do we do in its place? What do we say to the people who are going to be mayor in a year from now that they have to do? We don't want to wait till then, but what? How do we change it? I want to know how we change it. How we put a dent in this, talking about what it means to have housing residents actually run their houses themselves, what it means to build housing co-ops. How do we finance that? What do we do? How do we make this work? I mean, because we can't let it exist. It just can't happen. I mean, enough is enough. But let me go to the phones here and read this tweet. A bunch of tweets came in. Eric tweeted in thousands of examples of this, not doing the little things right. Amy tweeted in, does the residence board opposing Graziano's firing really represent the residents? Are the elections fair? We'll come back to that question in just a moment. And Lawrence Brown tweeted in, and are they paid or subsidized by Housing Authority of Baltimore City, therefore compromised in terms of who they represent? They're talking again about the housing board that supported Graziano. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break as well. Is it time for a break? Yes? No? No? Yes? No. Okay. So let's get a call in here, and then we'll come back to answering this question. Terry, you're on the air.
One of the big things I hear is not only do they not care, they're continuing to bully the residents. There's so many problems that exist right now that people don't want to come out, as you heard the lady say. People don't want to come out and expose the problems so they can further help the community who are seeing these problems. Because of the bullying of the management and the bullying of housing. It's ridiculous that for telling people what's wrong with your home, you stand a chance of being put out. That's ridiculous. We got to do something about the bullying. We got to do something about the intimidation. It's another form of oppression.
Derry, I agree. Thank you so much for that call. And I want to talk about the City Housing Residence Board when we come back, about the questions these two people tweeted and asked, and also about the what it means politically to change this and what Terry is saying, because I think it is time. And I think that's what many people are feeling in this city. So we'll be right back at 410-319-8888. Dave and Tina, you're the next two callers up. We're going to come back to join John Comer, Trina Ashley, Taisha Harrell, Alice Wilkerson, Jeff Singer. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are here with Trina Ashley, Taisha Harrell, and Alice Wilkerson, all of whom are part of Communities United and who lived in our housing projects. John Comer, lead organizer for the Maryland Communities United. Jeff Singer, founder and former executive director of Healthcare for the Homeless, who is a leading housing advocate in our city. And you at 410-319-8888. And MA tweeted in, the most effective way to get rid of corruption and provide safe housing is to empower the residents. So let me talk about that for a moment. Then we're going to go to our next callers up. Tina, Dave, and Phyllis, you're going to get on the air, so please don't hang up. We're going to come to your calls. Let's talk about what that means to empower people. Let me start with the question that came before we went to break. What about the piece in the paper about, is it the Resident Advisory Council? Is that what they're called? I think that was the answer. So.
No, the answer is advisory board.
What is the advisory board?
They're under Graziano's administrator.
Who picks them? Do they get elected?
They pick themselves, and they're from the high rise, and they don't know nothing about the low rise or how these people are living.
What do you mean the high rise versus the low rise? What does that mean?
This board is consists of, excuse my French.
You can't curse on the air.
I'm not going to curse
right
on
the
air. I'm not going to curse on the air.
That's good, please.
But
don't do that.
Excuse my friend. These are elderly women that have been living in public housing. They probably older than I am. That's been living in public housing, and they just stepped up to the plate and say, oh, I'm here to represent the residents. How are you going to represent the residents when the residents, for one, don't know who you are? And for two, I wished I had it. This bogus thing that you wrote up and said it, the residents did it. No, they didn't. Because for three, the residents don't know who you is. You never met with the residents. Mm-hmm. You never talked with the resident. Mm-hmm. So how are you a board for the residents? You're not the board for the residents. You're the board for Graziano.
And on the high rise comment that she made, the high rises are coming under private management, which many people know.
Right.
And and the low rises are, continuing to be under housing. But the one thing we also want to make clear is that we don't want to put housing residents against housing residents.
Right.
Right. So like we attended that press conference, and we actually our members actually spoke to many of those people at that press conference about, hey, let's be sure that the message that's being sent is a message from the residents and not necessarily a message that's coming from the top of housing that's on a platform. Because, we just have to be very careful that once we start to empower residents, that we continue to empower the residents and not allow some city form board with some people who are interested in helping to keep somebody's job. We don't need people who's interested in helping to keep people's job. We need people that are interested in helping to get these conditions correct, because this is an issue of humanity, right? This isn't about keeping a certain face in office, because regardless of what the face is or who the face is in office, our feet will remain the same. And they will remain planted, and they will come off the ground and lift up when necessary. So, you know, it doesn't matter the face, right? Like, this is all about results and just everyday humanity issue that is taking place in Baltimore, USA.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the phones here. A lot of people are calling in, but I'd like you to throw out your idea first, and then we're going to go to Tina, and then to Dave, Phyllis, Kenneth. But what were you saying to us during break? Jeff Singer, about the six-point plan you have for changing it. I think we're all anxious to hear what that is.
Yes.
Everybody's waiting.
Oh, I think it's all pretty common sense, but here it is, a six-point plan. Number one is that the housing commissioner position should be an elected position.
Elected?
Yeah. Yeah, the people who live in Baltimore should elect the next housing commissioner when we get a new one, right? Number two, we need mechanisms so that people who live in public housing run public housing. Now, if that means they have to tell HUD that they're taking it over, or if that means they're just going to take it over, but, you know, there is a provision in the law, as I mentioned, Section 25 of the U.S. Housing Act, that gives the people who live in Gilmore Homes and McCullough and in any other project the right to take over and get the money that comes to Baltimore that can be spent in a better way because they live there and they know how to spend it. Mm. Right? And they can hire a management company if they want to, or they can just do it themselves. So that's number two, make it democratic. Number three, in the interests of transparency and accountability, HCD and HABC need to be audited every year. And that audit needs to be presented to the people who live in Baltimore every year. Mm-hmm. It's not happened. If you go to their website of HABC, there is not a single report on the website of what they've spent in the last year and how they spent it. There is no report. Now, they have to send that report to HUD every year, and almost it's a Herculean task to find it on the HUD website. I found a few. In 2011, did you know they had a $20 million surplus?
What?
Yeah, in 2011. Wow. The Housing Authority of Baltimore City had a $20 million surplus. Wow. And if anyone from HABC wants to call in and contradict that, I will send them the report that they sent to HUD. All right. In 2012, they had a $9 million surplus. Now, in 2000 and yes, this is all true. In 2004, they didn't spend, between 2003 and 2004, they did not spend $32 million of Section 8 money. They didn't spend it. They put it in an account. They put it in a bank so that people were sleeping on the street even though they had money to spend. That's in the OIG report from 2004. I can send that to anybody. Yeah, the HUD Inspector General. And that was repeated this year when they had Section 8 certificates for homeless folks that they kept in their office and forced people to sleep on the street. It's an outrage. However, let's get back to our six-point plan. So we're going to elect the housing commissioner. We're going to create democratic mechanisms for people to run their housing. We're going to have audits that happen every year and that everybody gets to see. Number four, we need a plan for affordable, quality housing for everyone in Baltimore. There is no such plan. Boston has one. New York has one. Philadelphia has one. Washington has one. Baltimore doesn't even have a plan. The only plan they have is to build 979 units over the next 5 years, right? We need a plan, and that plan should be produced democratically. Number five, the city of Baltimore should immediately cease all subsidies to for-profit entities, all subsidies to for-profit entities. We gave Michael Beatty $123 million to build luxury housing and a headquarters for Exelon. $123 million of our money when everyone agreed he didn't need it. He just wanted a higher profit. He said he could earn 10% on the money if he didn't have the subsidy, but 14% if he did. This is outrageous. This is our money, and it needs to go to meet the needs of people of Baltimore. And so no more subsidies to for-profit entities, which would create a lot of dollars for the ordinary people of Baltimore. And number six, we need to put all of our energies into creating non-speculative housing. And that means public housing is housing that's non-speculative. In other words, people are not supposed to be making money from it. But the other mechanisms, and you mentioned one, there's community land trusts, there's co-ops, there's mechanisms that we can use that take housing out of the market where people gentrify and drive poor folks out of their homes because they can make money that way. The city has been subsidizing that through vacant to value, for example. That's a gentrification program and nothing but. We need to stop that sort of thing and produce mechanisms where communities control their land, do the planning for their land, and help people build housing that's good for everyone and that never makes a profit. So there's the six-point plan.
Let me just say that we promise you if we get to the phones, John, you can jump in real quick, but I do want to get to the phones here. I promise that we'd get to these calls. And B, what we need is get that six-point plan, turn it over to Communities United. Mm-hmm. Let us take it and put it up on our website and blast it out there for the people to see. Mm-hmm. So we can wrestle with these six ideas and kind of make this a citywide discussion. I mean, that's what has to happen. Mm-hmm. And I would promise you every time I have a candidate on the air for city council or mayor, that'll be one of the questions that we ask. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to know. That's what they have to answer.
Yeah, you know, it's a wonderful thing when advocates and organizers can come together and everybody can play the role that they were, you know, at the table to do. So we're organizing the people, empowering the people, and, you know, many times moving forward, it's good to get plans from great brains, great minds like Mr. Singer. So, you know.
410-319-8888. Let's go to line three. Tina, you've been waiting the longest time. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Tina.
I actually have a lot of questions and concerns because I know. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I've been from Edmonton for 13 years. I've been living in the unit I'm currently in for five. I've had rats in my walls at least I can remember for the last 3 years. Every time I call about them doing something about the rats in my walls, they tell me there's nothing they can do because there's no holes in my house. I have a 9-year-old that I share a room with. And my daughter sometimes is scared to go to sleep. Every time I'm hearing something, which is the rats in the walls, I'm jumping up thinking one mic finally got in. And I want to know who I can go to and talk to about that. Also, I was out of work for a whole year, and I was told by my management office that there's no such thing as no income. I received unemployment, so I was still paying the same amount of rent that I was paying when I was working. It never changed. It takes them so long to fix stuff that I end up going out buying my own stuff, fixing my own stuff myself. And they done switched the light bulbs in our house. The light bulbs cost $8 a piece. Because they're not the regular shoe-in bulbs. They have two cones at the bottom. Like, I'm already living in public housing and struggling. How can I afford an $8 light bulb if a light go out?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you've raised some – I mean, I hear you, and I have a feeling that what you're saying here is multiplied thousands of times. But Trina just said to please give her a call. Want me to give your number out in the air?
Tina, you can give me a call at 443-500-5585.
You get 443-500-5585. Trina, who's a guest on our show, please call her. And I think that's, you know, this is the kind of stuff that the people have to hear and that is part of the impetus of getting everything changed. And I appreciate you calling back and doing that. I'm sorry you have to live in those conditions. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Dave on line two. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, this is a great show. A couple of things before my question. It's a pretty intolerable situation. Something needs to be done. Jeff Singer should be housing commissioner. He'll get my vote. For the Green Party, Jeff. I guess the third thing, the city comptroller, the office of the comptroller, shouldn't they be involved in this and seeing that the money that's there is going to the right place or not being spent to the right place? I'm just curious about that. Thank you very much.
Well, now, the comptroller, from my understanding of the shows we've done on audits in the past, has said that they are overwhelmed and can't do the audits the way they are supposed to do the audits. I mean, if that's what I remember from past shows when we've debated the audits.
They probably also don't have the authority to audit HABC.
Because it's a federal agency.
No, well, no, it's actually not a federal
agency. That's the city one.
No.
Okay,
it's
I'll
not.
Shut up.
The Housing Authority of Baltimore City is an agency that was created by the Maryland legislature in 1937. And then the city of Baltimore had to pass a law saying, yes, we want it, and then signed an agreement with this public agency. It's not a state agency. It was just created by the state. It's an independent mm-hmm. public agency. But it's run by a board of commissioners, and the board of commissioners is appointed by the mayor. And the board of commissioners hires the executive director, who's also the secretary of the board, hires someone like Paul Graziano. So the board of commissioners hires him, and the board of commissioners could fire him, too. But that's the issue. It's a public agency that's not a city agency, so I'm not sure the city controller could audit it.
So who would audit it, then?
We could.
Mm. Who's the we?
We could. The people of Baltimore could demand that they turn over all their records to us, and we will find some really smart accountants, right, who are friends of ours. We know accountants, mm-hmm. and they can help us do an audit. You know, we could get one of those fancy audit firms. There's plenty of them in the city, Ellen and Tucker and so forth and so on, McGladrey, that maybe could volunteer on a pro bono basis to do an audit for the citizens of Baltimore to see what's happening with our housing authority.
I like that.
I like that.
I like that.
We all like that. Folks, these are the kind of things I think that are important, because the power of the organizing that's going on that Communities United is doing, you know, coupled with the kind of push to make people accountable, is what makes things change, can make things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having that kind of the power of the facts and the power of the people combined in one. Mm-hmm. Is what pushes the issue to places where they have to begin to give some answers and not just let things sit where they are. Because
yeah, sure.
Every time they're on my show, and I mean, they're really good at kind of obfuscating the reality and dancing around the issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard sometimes to keep their feet to the fire, but you all are doing it, which I think is important. You were about to say what, Alice? I'm going to go back to the phone.
I just want
to
say one more thing. People, get out there and fight for what you want.
That's right.
Get your children to fight. The poison that's going in their systems is going to affect their brain. I'm talking about every nationality and race. The problems that we have, the children are going to have diseases and everything. Please get out and fight for what you want. If you don't, you're not going to get it.
410-319-8888. Phyllis, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Steiner.
Good morning, Phyllis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just would like to make a comment of, I know, Mr. Steiner, you have said, where do we start?
Mm-hmm.
Clear out all that old leadership. Lay it out.
That's right.
If you clean house, that's the beginning. And then you can build from there. But you have got to get rid of that leadership. That's my comment for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you.
People just tweeted in here on something you said, Jeff. Let's all talk about this for a minute. Dorothy tweeted in, responding to Jeff saying commissioner should be in an elected position, tweeted, a politician? You want a politician? And Housing Policy Watch responded, no, I want leaders. So, what I mean, is there a danger in that idea of electing a housing commissioner that it just would be thrown out to somebody with money who wants to run for office?
Well, sure, but John, let's hear from you.
I mean, there's always risk. You know, there's risk in, you know, voting in the wrong person. There's risk in trusting somebody to appoint the right person. What we have to do is trust ourselves, and we have to trust that we can install a system of accountability that has been overlooked, forgotten about within HABC. In the process, residents will be empowered. Now, many times people don't want to vote because they don't feel a connection to the mayor's office and to the city council, which we know is wrong. But many times when you talk about somebody's housing, something that they encounter every day, something that they sleep in, wake up in, cook in, their children play in, those concerns begin to magnify. And I think that with the right kind of organizing, because now in this city, in this country, at this day and time, you cannot do anything without community organizing if you want to get it done right. Voting in a housing commissioner could definitely be the way, especially with the situation that we're in now. Like, it seems almost like a no-brainer to allow the residents to choose who their leader is, and let's not forget, the leader could be homegrown. You know, let's not forget that the leader could come from Gilmore Holmes, McCullough Holmes, Latrobe mm-hmm. Holmes, or somewhere. So, uh-huh. you know, I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
So what would it mean? I mean, just changing the way things run. I'm going to go back to the phone chair in a minute. Mark, we'll come to your call in a second. But what would it mean for housing residents to people who survive in public housing to run it? I mean, there's the cooperative idea. There's the idea of land banks. I mean, how does it work? How would that literally work? Would it be like turning the money over from the city and federal government to people to manage themselves, hiring their own work people, working them, fixing them something? How would you think it would work?
I mean, well, you know, as a – I'm, you know, I actually have a degree in public administration, and that's something that you want you want to sit down and work out. Like
we're talking about the broad structure.
We think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Of course, we need to set up as many systems of accountability as possible. But, you know, Mr. Singer, you know, has more to say about it. It's his vision at this point in time, and I think we're interested in adopting that vision.
Well, you made an important point earlier, Mr. Comer, which is that the vision comes from the people.
Right.
Right. The vision is from you all. I'm happy to help to the extent I can. But, yes, it can work. I mean, people have been running their own housing for centuries. Mm-hmm. This country supposedly was founded on the idea of democracy, which is that the direction, fate, and shape of our lives should be determined by us.
Right.
Right? That's what's supposed to be fundamental. And democracy, however, in the U.S., has never applied to most aspects of our lives.
Right.
Right? You walk in the door of the workplace, you have no rights, essentially. You can get fired at will in a state like Maryland.
Right.
If the boss wants to fire you, the boss has the right to fire you. There's no democracy in the workplace. There's no democracy in our housing. There could be. And I'm not saying that everyone who lives in a house knows how to manage the money in the house. I'm not very good at it myself. But we all can find people. We all can find people with the expertise that we don't have and to teach us how to do, right, so that we're not dependent, but cooperatively we can make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we just, Housing Watch tweeted back in, if it was next to Graziano's Bolton Hill home, we wouldn't be needing this discussion.
Not at all. It goes back to what I said earlier. Take a resident and put it in Bolton Hill in your unit and go live in their unit for a week. I won't even ask you for a week. I'll ask you for 2 days.
I asked him to come stay the weekend with me and my kids.
There you go.
He wouldn't last 5 minutes.
There you go. You got a resident that's sending you an invitation to come stay with her for the weekend.
All expenses paid.
All expenses paid. You or even the mayor, Stephanie Rollins Blake. We putting it out there.
With my home, this is Alice. With my home, you cannot even stay in there for 2 minutes. This is how bad the heat and the mold is in my apartment.
So, in all seriousness, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking public officials to live in public housing for a period of time to see what it's like to live and then say, what do you think about how we should change this now for people, what we should do for the citizens of the city?
They wouldn't know what to do.
That's what I said when I was told that I could not stay out of my apartment and I was told my lease would be terminated. I told them, well, the upper people in management, you can come and live in my house. Just come down here and open the door, and the heat and the mold will slap you in your face.
Let's get another call in here, 410-319-8888. Mark, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
I want to applaud the residents for coming on and having the courage to tell their story and the representatives who are there trying to help. But this is a question that I would put out quite candidly.
Sure.
The information that the advocate just pointed out, where the housing authority, which is federally funded, has run surpluses for the last several years, and yet this kind of maintenance or lack of maintenance leads to these conditions that, frankly, people cannot live under these conditions. I would think that you've reached a point now where you've gotten beyond advocacy and civil complaints, what have you. I think that they need to go to their two United States senators and their two Baltimore City congressmen and demand that the FBI enter this case and open a criminal investigation and prosecute Gardiana and his managers for criminal negligence and fraud. This is outrageous.
Mark, thanks so much for your call. I think that's now, I think the outrage that Mark feels, and we've left a little bit here but heard some serious comments, is the outrage that people in this room feel who live there every day.
Yes.
So do we have time for one more caller? Should we get one more caller? Sneak one in here, yes? 410-319-8888. Then we'll wrap up. Will, very quickly, you're on the air. Will?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I think it's a travesty that we have a city of Baltimore that's going to say they cannot audit certain departments. You have the housing department. They can't be audited. You have your school. Money going, we don't know where. Nobody can account for it, but we can't audit them. Or for whatever reason, they're not being audited. In my opinion, the city council and the mayor's office should be sued. And to piggyback on the previous caller's comment, they need a federal investigation. Senators, congressmen need to be brought into this because so many ways and in so many places, monies are being taken away from the citizens of Baltimore.
Well, I appreciate your call as well, and we have to wrap up here in this particular segment. We're, of course, invited everybody back here to continue this conversation. A final closing thought from anybody? One person wants to jump in so we can close it out. John Coleman.
Everybody who's listening, I think it's very important to remember, we didn't come to this place by people advocating for somebody else. It was the residents who stood up for themselves, and we continuously need residents to continue to come through our doors or any other organization's doors that's going to stand for them. And speak up for yourselves. This is about empowering each other, not just for the moment, but for the movement forward.
Now, we are going to put Jeff Singer's six ideas up on our website. We're going to put that up on our Facebook pages, and we'll send it out as well in a series of tweets so people can see what we're talking about here. So, Jeff Singer, thanks always for joining us and bringing what you bring here. I want to thank John Comer, who is lead organizer for Maryland Communities United, Trina Ashley, who's also an organizer, and Taisha Harrell and Alice Wilkinson for joining us in the studio today. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Pardon? Oh, and go ahead.
This is Trina Ashley from Communities United Organization. If anyone have any housing issues or need to talk, my phone number is 443-500-5585. 443-500-5585. And have a good day.
And we'll put that on our Steiner Show website from the connected to the show. So if the housing residents are looking at our site, they can call you. And we'll stay in touch. And I want to thank all of you for the work you do and for coming here in the studio today. I appreciate it.
And thank you.
Thank you.
On the way to break, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. We'll be right back and travel across the ocean. Talk about ISIS. Stay with us.